This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, it's Hour 5 G-Bag Nation here on a tournament Thursday. We'll be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless tomorrow. Join us 2 to 7, $3 Michelob Ultra Pints, $4 Jameson Shots. Just what the doctor ordered tomorrow in Euless. Alrighty, let's talk some baseball, Wolchuk. What do you say?
All right, let's do it. Some Ranger observations from their game last night, which you heard on The Fan. The trio of lefty Robert Garcia, our guy Luke Jackson, and Chris Martin combining to pitch three perfect innings against Seattle in relief. The numbers have been great. They've allowed one run in 15 innings of work, struck out 13, allowed just 9 base runners. Their ERA and WHIP are identical. It's a 0.600, which is extremely impressive. Bruce Bochy said they just command the ball well. They know what they're doing. So the Rangers bullpen looking really, really good. Corey Seager's also getting pretty hot. He's been on a tear over the last week, 4-for-7, 3 extra base hits, 5 walks, just 1K. That's a sign that he is seeing the ball pretty darn well. And as you mentioned earlier, Ezekiel Duran has just, he's not going to make the team out of spring training. It has not been very, very good for him. So hopefully.
Kind of fizzled, man. He had 2 great months. Was that in 2023?
Yeah, it was the first half of the season.
It's when, and when Seager went out with injury, he stepped up big time.
He was, he was a borderline all-star.
Yeah.
He may have been.
Just, unfortunately, it hasn't panned out for him ever since then. For the Rangers, though, they ended up with 3 players on CBS Sports Top 100 of 2025. The Dodgers, of course, led the way on this list. Not a surprise, I would say. Dodgers had 9 players in the Top 100. Rangers ended up with 3, along with the Guardians. The Braves and Cubs had 7. Astros ended up with 5, so did the Mariners. But Wyatt Langford made the cut, and he was pretty darn high on this thing. You had Corey Seager on here as well. He was your highest Ranger at 15. Wyatt Langford was at 31. And then Marcus Semien was the other Ranger to make the top 100, according to CBS Sports. I believe Semien was 67 on the list, right ahead of Roky Sasaki, who did make his debut for the Dodgers. And it was a little iffy. In his hometown of Japan, high velocity fastball was working for him, and he allowed just 1 hit, but he did have 5 walks. It's like a man not quite there for Sasaki. But back to the Rangers, three players in the top 100. I think that will rise going into next year. And Ken Rosenthal, the Bowtie man himself, was talking on Foul Territory, and he also has the Rangers having a pretty damn good year.
I like the Rangers in the AL West, and I expect them to be resurgent. Remember last year, they're coming off the World Series title. Teams always struggle, it seems, coming off World Series titles, playing so deep into October. They also regressed offensively. They weren't the same team offensively. And now they're bringing in Jock Peterson. They've traded for Jake Berger. With the pitching staff, they have some questions in the bullpen, but Bruce Bochy is their manager, so you would expect he'd figure it out. John Gray obviously out now with a fractured wrist. Cody Bradford is out as well, so the starting pitching, that is why they signed Patrick Corbin this week to enhance their depth. But I just expect their offense is going to be better. Wyatt Langford in his first full season, Evan Carter coming back, Chase Young is healthy again. It just seems to me that this is going to be a team that we're going to be talking a lot about this season.
What's the name that he said there at the end?
I believe he said Jace Young.
Jace Young?
Instead of Josh, the Jungle Josh, Cat. Yeah.
Josh's brother, Jace.
Yeah. Jace.
You know, just he's such a baseball guy. He's just getting the Youngs confused like this.
Baseball family.
Josh Young, yeah, of course. I love when Rosenthal's on the bandwagon as well. Welcome aboard. We had Kirkchen on yesterday when I was filling in for Corey on KNC. Kirkchen's also very bullish on this Rangers team and the offense. Yeah. Now, I think we're excited about the offense right now, but when it comes to the pitching, there are two pitchers that I saw on a way too early trade deadline options. Like, if the Rangers end up having some pitching woes, there's two guys I think you should absolutely try and go and get. The number two option here would be Dylan Cease, who the Rangers had been rumored to be interested in prior to him going to San Diego. He's going to make a pretty healthy $13.75 million in 2025. He's on the final year of his team control, which might then make what you have to give up for Dylan Cease at the deadline not quite as costly, because it is just a rental, and he might leave in free agency. We've seen that happen before with a guy named Cliff Lee. But the number one guy that possibly could be on the market, Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins.
Tommy John guy?
And he came back in his first time throwing since Tommy John with the M's was damn good. He looked like he was an even better pitcher than he was before when he was a Cy Young winner.
Touching 99.
The dude's been throwing gas. He's still only 29 years old. He's owed $17 million this year and next year. His contract includes a club option for 2027. So when he's healthy, he's affordable. For another 2 years beyond this one, I would be all in on whatever it takes to go get Sandy Alcantara if indeed you're having pitching issues at the deadline and you're feeling like your offense is good enough to go win a World Series. That's a name I'd monitor.
Looks like his contract is very imaginable, $10, $11 million, something like that. I think all these are predicated on the idea that you're going to trade Tavares, you're going to have to trade other players because you have to free up the payroll. They want to avoid going into the luxury tax threshold again for a third year in a row, which triggers a ton of penalties.
I wonder if they'd be willing to punt on a lighter or a rocker in this scenario.
I would.
Yeah, because if you're the Marlins, you're probably going to want one of those guys coming back.
Yeah, I mean, which you know brings up the fact that you not only have to provide value, but then offset the salary some way. I don't know. I would be surprised if they're able to pull off something like that, Wolchuk.
Yeah, maybe they don't want to, but my gosh, I don't think you're going to find a better pitcher on the market. That dude is absolutely nasty.
And he's been a certified caballo his whole career. I mean, he leads MLB in complete games since 2016, even though A, he didn't debut until 2017, and B, he missed all of last season.
Yes, after having Tommy John. He's an absolute stud. I think it's worth the pay.
Yeah, he's one of the tops in the league. I was just kind of looking at this. He's like his sinker. He's like the chase rate for him is like batters just can't touch this
he's
guy
unreal.
With that sinker. He's a sinker change, four seam, and a slider guy. So yeah, he gets a lot of misses and a lot of chases back in 2023.
All right, let's go back to the hometown of Japan, which, you know, the 682 did point out, like, hometown of Japan, it's home country. I totally screwed that up.
Tokyo.
That's weak.
A country could be a town, but a town can't be a country.
A little bit of Blake in you there.
I believe I learned that.
I guess it's country. Yeah, geography ain't my strong suit.
There's a little bit of Blake in all of us.
Yeah. Now, did you see the Shohei Ohtani gift bag that his wife put together?
I did, but I didn't report on it, Wolchuk. I figured you'd be all over that beat.
So, yeah, this
gift bag for who?
So the other Wags.
The other Wags.
Oh.
The other Wags for the Dodgers. So they had the trip to Japan. Tokyo, Japan, 25, was the blue gift bag that Shohei Ohtani's wife put together for them. It was a Dodger logo over a cherry blossom petal and a Tokyo, Japan 25 stitch below the team's logo and a note wishing them a safe and fun trip to her homeland. It also included several Hello Kitty products.
Shut up.
It really did.
That is epic, dude.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it would have like a gift card for an online sports book or something.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. Hey, this is our guy if you guys need a bookie. No, I mean, they seem like everybody had fun with this Japanese Tokyo series.
Except the Cubs. Didn't win a damn game.
I got a little roughed up, but I think the Dodgers are going to do that to a lot of teams. Now, I know you guys definitely had to talk concession items.
Yeah, we did. We did a handful, but I know there's new ones today.
The new ones that are popping out right now.
Oh, you're talking about like in Tokyo?
The Tokyo beer was awesome, though, Walter. Did you see that? The way they were dispersing out of the backpack?
Incredible. Really badass. And affordable. I think they were like $5 beers.
Yeah, $6 beers.
Six. Okay, perfect. Boom. That's affordable. Yankees have put out tiramisu helmets at games this year, made with espresso, mascarpone cream, or mascarpone.
I think it's Capone.
Mascarpone.
Mascarpone.
Marshmallow.
Yeah.
Ladyfinger cookies and cocoa powder.
Let's not overthink this, guys.
What's the cookie on this?
A lot of cocoa powder. Ladyfingers.
Those are like little cookies, long cookies.
Like sponge cakes.
Yeah.
So it's like the shape of them that makes them, it's like finger-like in shape. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But dainty. They get their nails done and whatnot.
In the nice little Yankee helmet.
Okay.
Like you get your ice cream.
Dude, the photos of this are promising. A lot of cocoa powder.
Cocoa.
That's cocoa.
I think what they figured out is now with ticket prices, you have to be damn near wealthy to take your family to these games. Well, so we might as well like bring them the most high end stuff possible.
This right is a high seat. Wait, this is highfalutin concessioning.
Tiramisu.
But Yankees are Yankees are a legends team. So them and the Cowboys.
Maybe the Cowboys get a cocoa powder, ladyfinger device.
They share the ideas for these things and stuff like that. Legends.
How many Ladyfinger cookies can you have before it's just too much?
I'd say at least 10.
Five.
I'm just going for the pinky, man. That's all I got. I'm a pinky guy.
Now, I also saw Darren Revelle put out this at Yankee Stadium.
Is it Revelle or Revelle?
Revelle.
It's Revelle.
It's the Yankees pastrami sandwich.
Oh, dude, this looks so good, by the way.
So the Mets have had one for a long time, and I guess he notes on here that his brother buys tickets to the Mets games just to eat the pastrami sandwich, but this does look like just a classic, good, delicious pastrami sando.
Yeah, how have you had a stadium in New York City all these years and you don't have a pastrami sandwich, Walter?
Yeah, you really need to do it. I mean, the Mets, I guess, have been hoarding it, and the Yankees just wanting to be different have said, we're not going to do that, but now they're going for it.
Yeah, you might as well.
You're probably going to do it better.
It does sound like the Mets have perfected it, and everybody's alleging that there's no way to get better than the one that the Mets. I mean, as Walchuk just mentioned, Revelle's brother is willing to just go to Mets games simply for the pastrami sando.
Yeah, I'll buy a ticket.
That just speaks
so I
volumes.
Get access to the sandwich. Did you talk about the White Sox milkshake that just dropped?
I did, but Dawson was, I mean, as excited
I bet you were.
As anyone.
Yeah, it looks delicious. The Mariners What Up corn dog.
Yeah, it looks disgusting, doesn't it?
Oh my God.
But the food coloring thing is just,
I don't like it. And
I get it
mess
for
with your poop.
The presentation factor, but yes, the aftermath is just so off-putting, dude.
Okay, your feces. What do you want me to say?
By the way, that Mets pastrami sandwich, $19.
But it's big. It's a lot of pastrami.
The Yankees version probably won't be better, but with Jerry's concession team running the deal, I guarantee it'll have a higher profit margin.
You're probably onto something there.
It's impressive, though, with just the real estate of pastrami between the two slices of bread. Mm. Like, it doesn't look like, at least from the advertisement, they're not going to be shortchanging you. You're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 layers of pastrami.
That's
meat.
That thick cut pastrami.
Yeah, that's
some fans
very
have
thick.
Observed that the changes in the sandwich quality and portion size in recent years has gotten really better.
Oh, yeah.
They've made it better each year. Yeah.
Did you talk about this Fiesta Burger the Mets are also doing?
No, sir. No, Your Honor.
I don't know that this is going to be a win for them. It's only going to be available in April and May, which to me signifies the staying power of this. They're not thinking it's going to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Fiesta Burger includes a taco-spiced burger patty topped with chipotle crema, Mexican cheese blend, and spicy guac, among other items. It looks like they actually have tortilla chips on the Fiesta Burger.
See, this sounds promising for me, like a taco burger situation.
And I like a taco burger, but this, I don't know, there's something that is not appealing about this picture. Like, the picture doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
It's the bun, I think, to me. It looks like a dry, like, ciabatta bun.
All the optional toppings Dawson hates.
Yeah, yeah. Once I hear crema and pico,
guacamole,
lettuce, tomatoes, avocado, salsa, sour cream, guacamole.
I'm just getting an overload of role players on here, and the star of the show, the meat patty, is unable to be seen with the naked eye. It's just lathered in crap.
Crap. Poo.
Cilantro, though, Dawson.
I do like guac. I just feel like it should be applied more like a condiment than a big helping of it, you know?
Oh, like, you just want like a little dollop, smear spread deal? Yeah.
I definitely don't never want a mouthful of guac. That's just weird. I understand. I'm a guac guy, but I get what you mean.
Yeah.
I can tolerate it, and I'm cool with it, but I understand.
The last thing, the Philly's s'mores quesadilla.
Yeah, we talked about that.
That looks delicious.
So we're just doing s'mores, and we're mashing them between the flour tortilla.
Yeah, it's
right?
Nutella, mini marshmallows, graham cracker crumble, and a flour tortilla served with chocolate dipping sauce.
We were talking a scoop of cold ice cream accompanying that would probably set it off.
It could be
off.
A great win if you're frying that tortilla properly. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're getting all that loaded up and putting that on a flat top and hitting it with the perfect oil and maybe sprinkling some powdered sugar on it.
It'd be a win.
Could be magical.
No doubt. There's
thank you, old Chuck. They're a proper round tripper every night, 6 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. Hard hitting baseball news like that is what you can expect. Sports hodgepodge coming up next. Chief, what's in store?
How many brackets are still perfect? Plus, we grade the nickname, and I present you with something very educational.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time for a sports hodgepodge brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Eric Chiafalo with that evening podge.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. One NFL thing for you. Diana Russini, the Giants are quote-unquote hoping that Russell Wilson or Joe Flacco decide to come to New York. So that's just the status of Giants football right now. God help us if we find a way to move up for Cam Ward, but that's not going
to
happen.
That's the situation. I know it's hilarious to you, and it's kind of hilarious to me, but you got to be willing to make a better play for Kirk Cousins in this situation, Chief.
Oh, it's so good.
You are so down bad when those are your options.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Thank God we're not the Giants, right?
Thank goodness.
Okay, what percentage of March Madness brackets do you believe to be still perfect, unblemished brackets? What percentage? Now, we're talking out of 100 here, Broadus.
This has got to be around. I'm sorry. I don't think Brian's going to answer this. I'm going to say 6%.
No, I thought you were just saying you were giving me that. I was hoping somebody
I was giving you some think time.
I know. That's what I was saying. I was.
Somebody clipped that.
How many out of 100? 100 total brackets or 100?
100% of the brackets.
I'm going to say 8%.
Okay. You're going with 8, which is 2% higher than Dawson. What do you say, Wolchuk?
10.4.
Another 2% up.
Lucius, you got a prediction here? Percentage of still perfect brackets.
Perfect brackets. You're in the 1%.
Thank you, Lucius. Finally, somebody's got some damn understanding. 1.71% is currently where we stand. That is how difficult it is. We're 5 seconds into this tournament.
And we've
already whittled it down to under 2% of perfection.
I'll tell you where I messed up in defense of myself. I figured there's been 6 games already. So I thought if each one's a coin flip, I went from 50% to 25% to 12% to 6%. I should have hit 2 more. I forgot the play-in situations.
You'd have been right there.
Yeah.
You'd have been all over it. But that's where we stand right now. Tennessee playing Wofford, and they're up 31-20.
Whenever I see that name Wofford, I'm like, how are these guys good at basketball?
Well, remember, they're the team that has the big man that goes for the granny free throw shot.
Okay.
So that's the type of
squad. Is this the 8-footer
you're dealing with? No. Florida's got the sub-8-footer, 7-foot-9 kid, but he doesn't really play. But that's just because Florida hasn't needed him because they're just so damn dominant. A lot of people think they're going to win the whole thing. Just won the SEC. So, 1.71% perfect brackets. That's it right now.
Just 1%, huh?
1.71%.
Almost two.
Almost two. That's right.
Wild.
For those of you counting.
It's like impossible.
For those of you counting, I believe the number is now 25 for reckless driving arrests at Georgia with their football team.
Oh, they got another one. We got a guy named Nitro.
They actually have two, Broadus.
Well, the Nitro, that's amazing.
Nitro got one, right?
Yeah, so they do have a player, first name Nitro, last name Tuggle. And he, of course, was arrested this morning on two misdemeanor driving charges. But that was on the heels of their offensive lineman, Marquise Easley, also being suspended indefinitely from all team activities after he crashed his car into a garage at the Athens Ridge apartment complex.
Oh, jeez.
So you have the Tuggler was from just last night.
Tuggler.
Easley was from earlier in the week. I mean, they are just not one, not two. They're going full LeBron James, LeVar Ball, all the way up to roughly 25 in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I don't even know what the solution is, because obviously at this point they've tried everything. I think might be the unintended consequence of the transfer portal. The coach can't keep you accountable. Yeah. They can't say, if you mess up, not only am I not going to play you, but I'm going to make it impossible for you to play anywhere else. You like that? Mm-hmm. You know, these coaches are powerless.
I messed up. I'll go somewhere else.
So I don't think you can point the blame at the coach. You know, I'm not trying to let anybody off the hook here. It's embarrassment.
I mean, I'm looking at the parents. You name your son Nitro and you put him in a Georgia Bulldog uniform. Yeah. I mean, 1 + 1 = 2.
And then a Ferrari, you know?
He probably should have just been a race car driver with that name.
Nitro Tuggle. There's actually...
It's a badass name.
I mean, and you could say, hey, at Georgia, we take this seriously, so we're going to kick you off the team. But they're fine. That's fine. Okay. I'm going to Alabama. Bye. Yeah.
I got other schools that wanted me.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think you got to let the law handle it and just kind of ignore it. I think that's the only thing you can do as a sport at this point. You know, and if a player becomes too much of an embarrassment or a problem that the community doesn't want him, just take him off the team. You know, but you just kind of got to let it manage itself at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think all those things are well said. The transfer portal bit there is also, I mean, you say unintended consequence. That absolutely adds up and makes some sense here. But yeah, Nitro Tuggle is his name. My favorite Tug in college football right now, though, is Joseph Tuggler from Houston with the Cougars.
Joe oh, really? Tuggler.
This dude is, they call him JoJo, but he is, from a defensive standpoint, locked down. He's 6'8". He's a big man. And that's the thing. Houston always plays great defense. This year is no different. But now they spread the wealth offensively. They got a handful of guys, three or four guys, that can knock it down from range on any given night. So they're not leaning on any one player offensively anymore. But when you get to watch Houston play, watch old number 25, JoJo Tuggler. He's putting the clamps on people.
Sounds like he has no jump shot.
JoJo Tuggler.
With clamps like that. But if he does, could be special.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how his offensive game really projects, but defensively, he's got the attitude.
He had 8 blocks in the game against Alabama.
Wow. Blocks, dude.
They're special.
I'm not kidding you
about
old JoJo.
He's lauded for his toughness and his willingness to engage in the gritty aspect of the game.
It's who he is. It's what he does. Yeah.
Good scouting report, Brian.
Fun guy to watch.
I appreciate this, man. This is awesome.
Broadus knows his college guys.
I know my basketball. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I didn't turn in a bracket, though. I would have been perfect,
though. You didn't end up doing one.
I did not.
You should have just said you did and say you had one of the perfect ones.
I'm about to go in and just fill one after today, the first round, and just kind of fill them in and kind of maybe get a loss here, loss there.
Put the date on it. 3/17.
Guys, check this out.
No one will know.
You think you could do a bracket where you could like fool people, like, yeah, here's my bracket, and it's like,
oh, yeah,
you're just like filling it in as it's going along, just however you want to do it.
Yeah, I think that would get you far, Broadus.
Well, no, if you went to a bar and showed people, oh, here's my bracket.
Yeah, they're just drunk. They don't know any better.
Looking at it like tomorrow.
Yeah, take one tomorrow.
How many people are gonna have a hard copy bracket? Most people are throwing it up on the app because we're in 2025.
That's the whole bit, man.
But you're the old crusty guy that can actually pass.
Yeah, I have to have the paper bracket. It's like Dawson with the paper going to the airport. Like, you know, he's got the paper ticket.
The boarding pass.
The boarding pass.
So you and Will Chambers.
Like tomorrow, that would be if I filled out a bracket and just like bragging to people, like pastry chef Eric, well, he's probably listening. But if I hey, check this out, bro. I'm on fire.
You're looking at perfection right here. Let's do that for the championship game, you know?
You want to?
It has serious potential. Be a good viral video.
I like this. It's a good bit.
I have just like maybe like
the perfect bracket.
Three or four of them wrong and see if people can get them.
They're going to hang your photo up at that bar while you're holding the piece of paper with your bracket and everything. Yeah. By Will Chamberlain.
There'd be as much evidence of your bracket being real as there is Wilt Chamberlain actually scoring.
Bro.
There's actually a guy, Ryan Allen Cluck on Twitter. Cluck Dynasty is what Clucker. He goes by. He had a photo. Apparently, his wife is so into March Madness that they have decluttered the photos off of their main living room wall and taped out a bracket and put all the teams on there. And they have a giant wall-sized bracket to, I guess, just keep track of things. That's how they want to soak in the madness. I mean, who can blame them? What a wife. What a wife.
Yeah.
Luka last night, he did the thing where he scores like 20 points in the first quarter and then he finishes with like 30. he's the best in the world at pacing 80, and then he just stumbles, just huffs and puffs to 30. Okay. It actually was 31-9-7. It was a really good game. 21-3-3-1-1 in the first quarter. So he ran it up. I believe he's the first Laker to ever have a first quarter stat line that reads 21 points, 3 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block in a single quarter.
Freaking Magic Johnson-esque.
Got tired.
So it's Dalton Connect. It's Dalton Connect. It's Austin Reeves. And it's Luka Doncic. The three white dudes for the Lakers. They got t-shirts and they got...
they call themselves the three white dudes?
No, they actually have a different name for it. Oh. You ready? No.
No, no.
This is being, these shirts are being purchased at a rapid rate in the greater Los Angeles area.
Yeah. Alabama.
Trace Leches.
Oh, I've seen that on social.
It's not bad. I'll tell you what's awesome, though, is the Mavs sitting on the outside looking in of the play-in now after the Suns get the win and the Mavs take the L. Let's just keep it going in that direction, ladies and gentlemen. Please, God.
That was quite a blessing last night. Unexpected. This next game against Detroit, is this tomorrow? The Pistons. This is unfortunately a winnable game. You know, so Pistons fingers crossed tomorrow.
Pistons are playing better.
Going to white knuckle this thing all the way to the end.
Cade Cunningham had a game winner buzzer beater off the glass last night. You know he called bank. Here's the educational moment for you guys. This was jarring to me in a very positive way, though.
Is it education?
This is going to be. If you guys were familiar 31. With this particular subject and the facts about it, before I tell you right now, just be honest and raise your hand and just say, sorry, Teach, I already knew this.
Cap.
Ryan, put your hand down.
I got ChatGPT.
How often do we use the term
ChatGPT?
The term buttload.
As a show?
Just as a human being, individually.
Are you going to go back to the origin of buttload?
I'm a big buttload guy. Are you a big buttload guy?
Yeah, I might use buttload sometime.
Yeah. Wolchuk does the buttload thing. Broadus, I mean, buttload is pretty
common. I'm embarrassed
common.
To admit that, by the way. I felt the embarrassment as soon as I said
it. A lot, but yeah. I probably use it at least 15 times a year. Like
I use it a buttload.
Yeah.
Okay, but what is a buttload?
Oh, you about to give us origin of buttload, bro. No.
It is actually.
Tennessee what?
No, it's actually measurement of liquids.
Did you just... You didn't know that before today.
I raised my hand, bro.
You didn't raise your hand. You just spoke up.
I raised my hand.
I raised
my hand. It has to do with beer.
A buttload is an actual measurement that equals to 126 gallons or 477 liters or a Rodeo Ron Tuesday afternoon with Jim Beam.
That's a buttload.
That is a buttload. When we say buttload... Yeah, that is actually a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a colloquial phrase, and of course, it indicates quite the volume there. Historically, a butt represented a significant volume, 126 gallons, 477 liters.
Yeah.
This standardization was crucial in medieval and early modern commerce, ensuring consistent measures and large-scale liquid transportation.
So I
would need a buttload, sir. Please.
Can I get 4 butts of beer?
Interestingly, the butt itself was twice the size of another standard cask called the Pipe, which held 63 gallons.
That's crazy.
That's what happened to that guy in that
So when
video.
We talk about buttloads of anything, we are using a real
measurement.
Educational
real
measurement.
Yeah.
That I presume they were being taught throughout schools across Europe for many years.
Yes, and it's not a small amount. I mean, 126 gallons of something, you're going to have to be careful with how you throw around that term going forward.
So Broadus was aware that, like, anytime I've said buttload on this show, which I've said before, you in your mind knew, like,
liquid.
Eric knows what he's talking about.
Liquid.
Talking
a
about
lot, a lot of liquid, yeah.
High volume. Wolchuk shaking his head no.
It's about,
I'm assuming Dawson as well.
It was educational.
6 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet.
Yeah?
It's about a buttload.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, the surface area and whatnot.
I'm just shocked it had nothing to do with actual butts.
Yeah.
I really assumed it
I wanted to see that origin. I
wanted to see the origin.
Yeah. It was using it in a sentence.
There was a butt cask, you know? Huh? It was rather a large cask, bigger than a modern keg.
Cask of butts.
Yeah, a butt cask.
We'll close things down with another Fred Davis special from last night.
No. Again?
This is just, I thought it was an interesting
show. It's crazy.
It was an interesting tie-in to March Madness and his very, very special, unique interaction with the late, great Craig Sager. Take it away, Fred.
He made a joke, because he was a pretty crude dude off the air, like extremely crude. And so I was there to, back in my college days, KU, where our football team was terrible, but we were on TV that day for whatever reason. And Craig Sager made a joke at my expense, basically inferring that he had slept with my mother and did it in front of the entire production van, and everybody laughed. And I just sat there and was like, ha-ha, Craig Sager, you bleep.
Wow.
That story I was met with at 7:06 p.m. yesterday on my ride home.
Yes.
And I smiled and I thought, we're going to have to bring that back
That's
up.
That's incredible.
Where is Fred? I will follow up on this.
Craig
What was
Sager.
The context of them hanging out?
Probably in the brightest Damn. Yellow suit you've ever seen in your whole life.
Yeah. Dripping with some gators on.
Bolo yeah. tie and gators talking about how.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, that's your mama? Oh, yeah. I know your mama.
Yeah, know her well.
Yeah.
Miss Davis.
How's she doing?
How could I forget?
Got a buttload on her.
Tell your mom I said hi.
Yeah.
Hitting Fred Davis with mom smack.
Gosh. Tell her Craig's in town.
Okay, we'll see if we can get a follow-up on that. I do see Blake Elliott over there, the Fan After Dark, coming up here at 7 o'clock. We'll cross-talk with them, see what they have cooking here for in a Thursday night. It's next in the nation. Thank you very much, Lucius, here on your home of the Rangers, 105 through the Fan. Jared Sandler joins you every game day here during Cactus League, brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. Rangers getting ready to play some ball here coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. I am surprised to see Fred Davis here. My first radio show on the Fan in Portland, I worked with this guy named Isaac who went to Kansas, and he was maniacal. And so that introduced me to Kansas basketball and the cult that follows them. So I thought with Kansas playing Arkansas here, got underway maybe 30 minutes ago. There's no way Fred would be here, but here he is, Fred Davis.
Come on now.
Prepared as a Kansas, are you alumni?
Alum, baby.
Okay,
let's go. I mean, that's class 2007.
That's
Rock
certified.
Chalk Jayhawk.
So
Hearst Award winner. Thank you very much.
What
does that mean?
I won a Hearst Award for my journalistic prowess.
He killed it.
Thank you. About a Mormon stripper. You know the deal.
Oh,
you know the vibes.
Nice journalism.
What was his name?
So, but seriously, you're here while Kansas is playing.
Yeah.
This is a great day to have a 30-minute show.
Yeah. I got YouTube.
What are you going to do after the game? You're going to run down to the nearest bar and watch the rest
of
it?
I mean, our show's only 30 minutes, so as soon as I'm done, I'll sit here and watch the rest of it.
Watch the rest of it. Gotcha. Right on.
That's it.
Well, my team's playing well right now. I'm feeling very good about their chances. A&M, the Aggies, we know they're not going to hold this lead going into the second half. I got my Yale shirt on. Let's go, Bulldogs. They're going to the Final Four, and it's going to be hilarious, and I mean with a capital H, when Kansas lose to a buzzer beater by Calipari and the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's going to be great.
That would be pretty awesome.
I mean, half their team's already in foul trouble. So we're not even, you know.
Then why are y'all only up by 3?
You like your chances?
I do.
They're up three here. Not the best Kansas team.
No, this team's not great.
From a 7 seed, you could have a fun little weekend here. Maybe get to the Sweet 16.
Look, I would love to see us beat St. John's. I'm not going to.
Kind of feels like they're a team that's a Grady Dick away.
Who, us or St. John's?
You.
What made you...
I'm a Grady Dick away. I can promise you that.
What made you adopt Yale?
Vibes. Just like the vibes in their Ivy League.
Did you like just order the shirt?
No, I've been having this shirt for about 2 years.
It's a shorty shirt.
I've been having this for about 2 years.
He went in the wrong side of the closet.
I don't know why.
I would not doubt it one bit.
I'm just rocking with the Yale Bulldogs. No one seems to be rocking with them. I'm there. I got them in the Final Four.
You and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, and the Rizzler.
The Rizzler's got him too.
Rizzler's got him in the Final
Come
Four.
Come on. Then we know what we're doing. But you shouldn't be talking about my bracket. This guy right across from you, apparently perfect bracket.
Perfect bracket so far.
1.71% of perfect brackets, and Fred Davis is one.
One of them's right in front of us.
Now, again, the KU game is worrying me. Although my boy AJ Storr hasn't done anything, almost said something I shouldn't, all season long, and finally decides to score his best game.
I would like to try and do a bracket where you pick every loser.
That'd be fun.
Just do the whole
bracket. Wouldn't that be just as hard?
Just do every loser.
I mean, you would just do the opposite of who you thought was going to win.
That's right.
I guess it would be just as hard as the perfect bracket.
It's opposite bracket.
Yeah. It wouldn't necessarily wouldn't be any easier.
Wow, that would be tough.
Guys, we've had fun twice on two different occasions today playing audio from last night's show.
What?
What was the other one? I heard the, what was the first one? I was at work.
Kickbacks. So we have the kickbacks to Blake explaining kickbacks, and we have the Craig Sager story, which was more frustrating for you, Fred, personally.
Probably. Well, I mean, kickbacks that go. I mean, that's just Blake being Blake. The Craig Sager, because I really couldn't tell the story I wanted to tell, and I was able to kind of tell you guys off air how I really felt about it.
Were you close to punching him?
No.
Could you have dropped him right there in the TNT?
Well, here's the thing. Craig Sager's a big dude.
He is a big dude, but you could have dropped him.
Your mom knows that better than anyone.
No, I what's that?
I said your mom knows that better than anyone.
He said, what's that? Repeat that.
He said, what's that? Excuse me?
Say that again. Just in case anybody didn't hear what Craig allegedly did to my mom.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I walked right into that. No, he just made a disparaging comment about my mother.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I didn't appreciate it, so... You know,
basketball's in your DNA.
So was there a setup to it? Like, were you guys
man, I don't
teasing
honestly,
each other?
Like I said, no, it wasn't even that.
Busting
it wasn't even
on
like
each
that.
Other, maybe?
I think it was, we were busting on each other. No, I just walked in, like, you know, a little production van action. We were waiting for the game to start. You know, KU was not good.
What were you wearing?
He pinpointed you as the weak link, and he started to attack you is what he did.
What'd you have on?
I was a little bit older, though, than everybody else, though, too. So I think maybe he just felt comfortable. I don't know. I think he thought he was being funny. I think he thought he was. And it was
khakis?
There's a lot of nerds in there.
You can't lead with mom jokes. You got to know somebody for at least 48 hours.
Yeah, if you're Craig Sager.
Wow.
Like, Craig Sager does not care. Like, he seriously.
Did not care.
Past tense.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Craig Sager. Yeah, I don't even remember what the hell I said. I don't even remember how it started. But we were in there. I think I said something about being older, or I was 20. Like I said, I was 23, 24 at the time, which was older than everybody else. And he said something about, I remember being here then. Where are you from again? I think I know your mom or something like that. It's just the way he said it.
How did you respond?
See, that's
just
aggressive.
A nervous
necessary.
Laugh. Like, what are you going to say? Bleep you, Craig Sager? Like, you know, hindsight being 2020. Yeah, I probably should have been a little more aggressive about it. But
yeah.
It's Craig freaking Sager. And I'm there for the KUJ school. So the last thing I want to do is fight Craig Sager and then, you know.
I mean, he's at the peak of his fame. He's probably
Look, Craig, you weren't going to tell Craig Sager nothing at that point. This was what, 2005, 2006? So,
yeah. Mom's got good taste, dude.
You were thinking, I want to work my way up over here. This is a good opportunity.
Yeah, not that route.
We're going to TNT game.
Maybe you could have taken it as an opportunity. Yeah, got on with them.
And we lost. We got our ass beat. Who did we lose to? Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
And Jason Bean. I don't know if you remember. That's a poll from back in the day. No, yeah. Not Jason Bean.
I was about to say, that's
no,
current.
Not Jason,
Jason White?
No. Jason White was the quarterback for, I want to say Jason White was the quarterback for Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Who'd you say? I thought you said it was Oklahoma you got beat by.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Basketball.
Yeah, Jason White was. This is a football game.
Yeah, this is a football game.
Yeah, this is back when TBS was doing football for like a year, maybe two.
Sager knows ball.
I think that's what he was making fun of, for the fact that we were not good, and he was just cracking jokes, and I took the brunt of it.
Well, here we go. Fan After Dark for 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Should right in the face. Eventful.
Right in the face.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander
and
the Pimp Cup. Woolchuck and Chia Follow and Brian brought us. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation. Addies.